Good morning. Today is Friday, March the 24th. Joining us this morning from College of the Redwoods. Ooh, you really are out of the swamp, aren't you, with biology as your
Oh,
area.
Totally. I mean, we're all about swamps
cool,
out there.
Cool. Wendy Riggs is with us. Good morning, lady.
Good morning.
Well, yesterday we had the CHP guys out of Arcata, and I referenced that as, you know, out of the swamp division.
Another swamp.
Yeah.
We're a different kind of swamp.
I think today we probably have more swamps along the north coast than we normally have.
There is no question.
We're not limiting by saying swamp.
It is quite swampy getting here, actually.
There you go. Our quote this morning is actually a proverb, an Irish proverb. I guess this is the last one. It's been a week since St. Patrick's Day, so this will wrap this kind of stuff up. I almost said malarkey. Quote, better to be quarreling than lonesome.
That actually, I can see connections to that in our biology classrooms for sure. We have lots of conversations in biology.
That's what I was going to ask you. Biology, I think, for a lot of folks, is either cutting rubber frogs.
Yeah, no.
In high school.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Or something that they really got excited about.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to be one of those that you have a spectrum of responses to.
It's pretty interesting. I've been teaching biology for a while now. I taught at the high school for about 5 years before coming down to CR, and there is no question that, in my humble opinion, it is by far the coolest subject to teach because you can literally talk about anything. Biology is a study of life, and we do. Like, we had some fantastic conversations yesterday in my general biology class. We're talking about heredity, but you can imagine all the places that we would end up going that are very, very interesting.
More than an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah. We could keep going.
What is the biggest difference between teaching at a high school setting and teaching at a collegiate setting?
So I loved teaching high school. I loved the relationships that I formed with the students. I loved getting to see them every day. I felt like I was part of their lives in a way that's a little bit different at the college level. I love how much I get to focus on content at the college level. So it's not, I get to go way deeper into the biology and sort of challenge myself more
because
than I would have been.
Because the class sessions are longer, or you don't have to worry about who's going with who to the prom?
We definitely are not concerned about who's going where to the prom, which is quite lovely. But, you know, it's pretty luxurious. Most of my students are healthcare bound or pretty focused on what they want to do. So they come in knowing that these classes are super relevant for what they want to do with their lives, which means that you can literally, like, at any time that someone starts getting a little down or a little tired or a little bit frazzled by the workload, you can just be like, dude, remember, This is your life. Like, this is the stuff that you actually are interested in. And so that
relevancy is cool.
It's just super luxurious. So, yes, I love it. It's very good.
Does anybody think that she might be under 40? We've heard three lovelies, a couple of awesomes, and exciting.
Oh.
I'm going to have to break out the dictionary here really quickly just to kind of keep pace. KINS, News and Information Times 819. We'll be back with more from Wendy Riggs.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 824. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Wendy Riggs, biology gal
at
CR.
That's right.
Yeah. What is the most eye-popping moment that most of the kids in your class have? And let's use Biology 1 or General or whatever the terminology is. I don't know. I guess it wouldn't be bonehead biology.
Yeah, definitely not. We don't call it that.
But yeah.
You know.
Oh, good. So then it is.
Hopefully, yeah. most of our students don't call it that.
Like bonehead English and bonehead math. You know, when decades ago, take it easy.
Thank you.
basic, whatever the PC version of that is. What is the eye-popping moment they have in that class during those 4.5 months when you're teaching?
So for general biology, which is a non-majors class, we have...
Boy, you're trying to get the wrinkles out.
Right on. We'll smooth that out for you, just to clarify. But some of the students actually are healthcare bound. So it's their prep class before taking, yes, physio, anatomy, microbiology. And so you really have to go deep in this general biology class to adequately prepare the students to handle those three giant hardcore science classes. But then it's also, you know, the 60% remaining are taking it as a GE requirement because you have to have a lab course. And so those are two really different populations. But we've set up our course to go from very small things to big picture critters. And as you go, you know, it's pretty intense being in the molecular world. And for students who aren't comfortable there, like, it's hard to visualize, like, what are we talking about? ATP and DNA, what? How's that work? But then we're slowly building into, oh, the DNA is actually causing you to look the way you look. And then we start asking questions about
foundational building blocks.
Totally.
Kind of thing.
And so it's sort of like this magic thing that just by the end of the semester, when we get to talk about all the cool biodiversity out there, like, we go tide pooling because it's just fun to get out there and see all the cool critters.
Splash around, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, it's just awesome. And they have this appreciation of all of these pretty complex processes that give rise to this really cool stuff that we can actually see on a day-to-day basis. So I would argue at the end of the class, they come away with like this, whoa, that was, and some of them get amazed as we go. You know, some of them are appreciating those molecular processes, but I think that getting to connect it to the big picture and it really is cool, especially here. Like, we live in such an amazing area.
So with the concept of really small, mm-hmm. to where they get.
Mm-hmm.
How much of the course material is kind of high school recycled, maybe compressed and intensified, but should be somewhat familiar? RNA, DNA. I mean, you know, I can remember some of those things,
but
good Lord, that was almost 40 years ago.
Right. And so, I mean, it would be a really interesting question to ask the students, like, how many of you have had experience? If I were to make a call, I'd say maybe 50% of them have had experience with this stuff.
So, like, bio 1 and 2, but it didn't stick.
That would be the argument, that probably they were exposed at some point, but they didn't make a connection. But then the other half of them do have some sort of memory of this. But we definitely go deep, and they sometimes they're a little shocked at the examination process that happens.
One of the things that I can recall, a lot of my contemporaries at the time, wasn't the mastering of the topic.
Mm-hmm.
It was the compression of the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Is study skills, you mentioned lab, and mm-hmm. I know labs either are things that you really get excited mm-hmm. about or something that you really try to avoid.
Right.
with everything all put together, is the pace of presentation something that is, I'll say, more normal? Because you can get into things, and it's
right.
more like, okay, we're getting into this thing, and at the end of the week, we're going to bite off this much. But in real life, you'd be biting off 3 times as much, so don't give me this,
right.
it's too much work argument.
Right. You know, there's no question that any of the sciences, you're going to be dealing with just a massive quantity of information. And the cognitive load of dealing with that is...
Okay, you just threw in an academic word.
So,
cognitive, let's say.
I mean, it's challenging enough to learn the vocabulary and then to learn what those things mean and then to learn how those things are actually interacting with each other. Like, that's just a lot for a brain to handle. And so I actually, in my classes, I've for about 5 years now, I've been flipping my classes where I record my lecture and put it on YouTube. And then my students watch that before coming to class. So they actually get the lecture.
It's like a preface.
It's. I mean, anybody who's ever asked their students to read a textbook before coming to class is basically asked, yeah, right? And then how many
That was
us?
Me nodding off, guys.
That's what they do when you ask them to read the textbook. And it's because the cognitive load of reading a textbook, it's really high. So a lecture is really valuable because it walks you through, okay, this is important. And then look at this. Look, over here is how they connect. And remember that thing that we did over here? That's the connection here. So the students get to do that.
They still have a textbook, so those that learn visually
absolutely. Have references. But okay. Then they come to class, and we play with the concepts. So then I challenge them. We do quiz questions. We practice if we play games. We throw things at each other.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Wendy Riggs.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Wendy Riggs, biology professor at College of the Redwoods. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redek. Wendy, what's the biggest, I'd say misnomer, but that might not be the right phrase, or misunderstanding, or about biology that the community has, somebody who isn't in the class, who may have been out of school for, let's say, with our half-life of knowledge over 3 years, about
true.
What biology is, does, can provide, how it connects into people's day-to-day existence.
So in my general bio classes, I think I often come across students who feel like, oh, I can't do biology. I can't understand a science class like this. I'm not capable. It's not my area.
Probably a tape from high school.
Entirely possible. And so, you know, that's a big personal aha moment for people when they realize that, well, yeah, you can. And it's actually pretty cool along the way. And it's gettable. Like you can understand it with some effort. It definitely does not happen easily. You have to put some time in. But one of the things that's fun for me is helping students figure out how they best retain content, especially in these classes where there's so much. So it's nice to help them identify those study strategies that actually will help them in all their classes when dealing with lots of content.
That's probably the biggest frustration I think I had, and I think the kids had too coming out, is at high school the pace is such. You know, what are study habits?
Right.
Well, okay, if you're doing athletics and you're involved in a social club and you're doing something else and you got your class load, it all fits.
Yeah.
And you kind of look and go, okay, so now I get accustomed to a certain pace.
Mm-hmm.
Now bump it up
to
either vocational school or college prep, and it's a little bit different.
Absolutely.
Most of us weren't able to play collegiate athletics, or you know, there's not the extracurricular stuff at that level unless you're in those majors. Okay, but you still need to have study habits that are radically different from anything that you got through yeah. high school. Is that part of that learning?
There's no question. I mean, that's a huge transition for a college student, especially in the sciences, because these classes are pretty hardcore. I'm teaching online general biology for the first time ever. We haven't offered online general biology, and it's with a lab. And so I am developing.
Go to the kitchen and get baking
soda?
Yes,
and yeah, I love it. My students right now, they take pictures of their lab, and their kids come in, and their kids are isolating DNA, and it's awesome. Like, it's this totally fun.
Family project. Huh?
It is a family project, but I started with 29 students. And
is that a lot or a little?
That's over a full, so 24 is our cap. So okay. I had 29, and I had additional students like begging, like, please let me in this online class, please, I need it. I have 15 survivors right now, which I'm so freaking proud of my survivors. Like, it's pretty amazing that they've made it this far. But the ones that I lost along the way went, oh, you mean we have to know this stuff? Like, I'm actually going to have a test on this, and I have to actually understand what the lab I isolated the DNA.
Not just time on task.
Exactly. And that's a big transition for them. It's a big transition for us in our online courses to say, no, online classes are not easier than face. I would argue that it's harder because
I want the nonverbals. I want the giggles and the laughs
absolutely.
From everybody.
And the question over here that you didn't even know you had that somebody else asks, and then you realize that that informs everything that you are putting together. I mean, there's a lot of
triggers
value.
Another. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The whole body learn.
And it's an interesting challenge for me because I am a very social human. I love my students.
Really?
Did you know that? could you tell? So, you know, trying to replicate that kind of back and forth, you know, what are the things? Like, I can't see your face, but do you get it or do you not? Like, are you out there? Hello? So it's been an interesting challenge to try and put this class online.
I would think it'd be very challenging to teach to a camera
yeah.
if you're used to small body. For us, I mean, the microphone,
yeah.
you know, one person or a million
yeah.
people, it doesn't matter what we're talking about.
Right.
But if you're used to that eye-to-eye contact,
you know,
and the reactions and playing off that's a whole different ballgame.
It's the discussion piece. You know, the video lectures, I do record video lectures, and my students who watch them and people who are not in my classes who watch them, I think feel like I'm talking to them. So I'm fully capable of sitting in my office and talking to myself and having people believe that I'm talking to them.
But now it counts as your job.
Right, exactly. Awesome. But I think that, you know, that aspect, I'm just delivering information. It's passive.
They
can't talk back.
What I had always, I went to Humboldt, and then I went to a school in Nebraska, Doan, that I probably bored everybody with. It was 1,000 kids on campus.
Yeah.
4 years, that's the whole nine yards. So my experience in a lecture hall setting is really limited. And I've always argued that I would rather have the opportunity to, I guess, Buffett now instead of some of the other guys that I've used because he's still alive.
Right, right.
I would rather be in a hall of 700 to 1,000 people seeing somebody who really is into
right.
it and knows versus one-on-one with somebody who's just all theory and no life.
That's interesting.
So is the class size
the
critical component, or is it the lab size that's more critically important?
So the class size, you know, when you flip your classes, then what you're doing in class is active. And so I would argue smaller class sizes are always luxurious and better. But when you do active, I use clickers. So my students each have like a remote control, and I ask a question and they remote control in their answer, and it comes up on the screen. And so we all can see how everybody did. Like, we see a graph of where our understanding is. And so that's a way to, it really wouldn't matter how big the class was. We could actually engage everybody and get them active. I think being active is an important part of the scene.
KINS, News and Information Time is 8:43. We'll be back with more from Wendy Riggs.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Wendy Riggs from College of the Redwoods. Wendy, if you could leave a lasting impression with the moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, as well as potential students, about biology, if you could boil it down in your beaker.
Yes, boil it in my beaker.
Down to the essence of why we should care.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay. What would it be?
You know, we're living critters, and we live on a planet with other living critters, and learning how life works absolutely will give us lots of good information about how we can continue living on this planet with all of our other living critters.
Are you excited about the proposition of Mars and colonies on the moon? And I'm a big NASA freak,
right,
so
right.
I disclose that bias.
Thank you.
The same principles, the same excitement level.
I mean, honestly, you could go to the bottom of the ocean and have the same kind of like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. So absolutely, like anywhere we go that we see cool stuff, like it's going to be fantastic. So yeah, yes, it is definitely exciting. But there's been a lot of stuff on in the media lately about the weird sound waves that are coming from space, and that there's been these like 17 different events with, whoa, maybe that's actually life out there, like some living critter. So
would you want to go to Mars?
Dude, I'm in. Let's go. Definitely. I'll go to the bottom of the ocean too.
Awesome. See, I have more of an aversion of drowning than I do about going out into space.
All right, that, you
exploding
know.
Or
six
imploding.
Of one, half a dozen of the other.
One's cool and one is, no, I don't think so.
Awesome.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the next 10 or 15 years develop and present.
Yeah, we definitely are getting a lot of practice talking about thinking and analyzing information, and how do you know if something's true or not true, and what is science, what is that process that gives us information. So it's an exciting time.
Very cool. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Thanks.
Now we'll see if she wants me at her shop.
Come on in. We got all sorts of fun stuff going on.
We've been talking shop this morning with Wendy Riggs. Join us Monday morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.